Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
And I didn't know what to do the first few weekends where I was alone. I went, oh, this is supposed to be brunch time, but I can't go do that because he's not here. So I really had to start a new routine and kind of plan some times. And really, I'm a big list person. So I had to do things in order to kind of get out of bed, which was walk the dog, get up and get dressed, make your coffee, you know, walk again.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation.
And now, we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is the new single, Finding, Fixing, and Falling Back in Love with Yourself After a Breakup or Divorce with American journalist and New York City news anchor, Tamsin Fidel. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So we often say we have a special guest, but today's guest is truly special. I'm going to start with the headline that caught my attention. She is a 12-time Emmy Award-winning journalist and the anchor of the PIX 11 News in New York. So that's 12 Emmys. I didn't even know you could get that many. Tamsin has more than two decades of experience and has covered local, national, and international stories. She's the executive producer of Broadway Profiles, which is an entertainment show that profiles both the Broadway stars, behind-the-scenes magic, and the shows themselves. And she's on the speaking circuit. She's often called upon to speak about helping people to move forward from a big life change and empowering women. So she's appeared on The Talk, The Today Show, Good Morning America, Lifetime, A&E, and the CBS Early Show. And she's written some books, but her latest is the one that I think is most relevant for us today. It's called The New Single, Finding, Fixing, and Falling Back in Love with Yourself. And it seeks to help women emerge from divorce with confidence, grace, and a recipe for self-care. So I think this is going to be so helpful for our listeners, and we're really happy to have you with us, Tamsin. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much from me as well. We're super thrilled to have you here. You know, most people who are in the public eye don't necessarily want to talk about divorce. Nobody wants to talk about divorce, you know, unless it's lately with the positive spin. So I love your book. And you wrote it from personal experience. You've dealt with it yourself. I think a lot of people would look at you as they do, you know, anybody who's in the public eye who seems like their life is perfect. And they would say, wow, she's got everything. What does she know about heartache, pain, and struggle? And but the point is that you're not immune, you're human, and nobody gets to escape the human experience without some amount of pain and struggle. And you've been pretty open about yours. You're really open. Can you share what your heartbreak was like for our listeners and how you yourself handled that at that time?
Yeah, I actually ran a business with my husband. It was ironically a matchmaking business. And so we were running around telling people how to be in love. And we were, you know, setting people up and running the business in New York. And our marriage was falling apart on the inside, while on the outside, you know, we were business partners. And so that was tough because that was kind of a, you know, there were double problems going on there. And when I finally came to the conclusion that the marriage was not going to be able to be resolved for a number of reasons, that was hard because admitting failure, you know, realizing that the plans that I had with this person I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with were not going to happen anymore. And then trying to, you know, figure out how to move on from there, because at the age I was at that time, I had just turned up. So I think I just turned 41 years old. And so I was, you know, I was in the middle of that. Oh my gosh, I'm 40. And now what? And so there was just a lot of fear overall, and a lot of, you know, my heart hurt, quite frankly. And it was a public divorce. The newspapers had picked it up. I said to somebody, I was married in the New York Times because we had an article there, and I was divorced in the New York Post because there was an article there.
So page that was, six.
So that was, you know, it put it out there, and so you couldn't hide from it. You couldn't put it away and hope that nobody knew about it for a while and get over it. So that was really difficult. And I think what I needed to do was kind of, you know, figure out who I was, look at my surroundings, see where I needed to go from there, and see what I really wanted at that point, because I had a good support group. But, you know, what happens with divorce is some of the friends are his and some of the friends are yours and some of the friends are both of yours. And so you kind of just don't know where to begin and or who to talk to. And so I think I did what everybody else does. And I had to be quiet for a little while and still for a little while and figure things out.
Which is kind of a lonely place.
Yeah, it is. It's a lonely place. And I think that everybody that goes through this feels like, oh my gosh, is, you know, what's on the other side of it? Look, nobody likes to not know what's on the other side of it, whether it's a life change of, you know, being an empty nester or losing a job or starting a new career or going through a divorce. None of those people don't want to not know. You know, the unknown is very, very scary. In retrospect, the unknown was fabulous. You know, where I am today, I couldn't be more thrilled, but I would not have known that in 2012 and did not see a clear path, that's for sure.
Yeah, I always actually experience with clients that they're afraid of the future. And in many cases, they will tell me that's what kept them in the relationship for years, even when they knew it wasn't a successful, viable relationship. Their fear of this abyss of the unknown ahead is what they were afraid of. And then they'll come back years later and they're in their new life and they're happy in whatever they've moved on to. And they say, you know, I wish I had not been so afraid and not let fear hold me back. But it's hard.
Laura Wasser was just on our show and she said, fear is the great leveler. Everyone in divorce goes through fear. And it was it's the first chapter of my book too, because it's the first emotion that every person experiences in divorce. It's universal.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And then it's like, where do you go from here? And I kind of, you know, divided my things up in 90-day increments to kind of get through each part of it, you know, to get through who am I now? What does my life look like? What does my job look like? What does my home look like? And, you know, how do I go about dating again? And so all those things are, you know, it just feels so far away. But I have to tell you something, anybody that has gone through it knows that once you come out the other side, and the fighting is over with, and the financial situation is put aside, and the business part of what it becomes in a lot of cases, and the emotional things, you know, kind of everyone calms down a little bit. I think you can really build yourself into, you know, the person that you were meant to be, and that's what I feel like I've done. And so I don't regret my marriage, and I certainly don't regret my divorce, but it was really a place where I learned a lot about myself too, so I'm thankful for that. But it took a long time to say that.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned that you broke the book down into those 90-day increments, and that's actually something that I thought would be really helpful to people, because they are still maybe looking into this abyss of the unknown, but 90 days sounds manageable. It sounds like, you know, if I have a plan for just the next 90 days, I can get through that, and it's a wonderful progression that you take them through that I think you based on your own journey. So can you tell us a little bit about that first 90 days?
Yeah, I think the first 90 days you're in kind of survival mode. And I don't really know where the 90 days begins. I don't know if it's that you're fully divorced or you've separated at that point and you're going through the rest of the process. But it was all about kind of surviving. Like being still was a big thing for me. Like I wanted to keep going, so I didn't have time to think. which is what a lot of us do. Like, let me busy it all up so I don't have to deal with this at all, and go home to a quiet house, or to realize that, you know, his stuff is still there, or I found something that was his. So, you know, that was important for me, and kind of surveying that and seeing where everything was. And then I really needed to kind of take a good look in the mirror of who I had become, because I had changed quite a bit. I was somebody who wanted to travel. I wasn't traveling. I was sitting at home watching TV. I had become somebody who wanted to go and do things. I was in the house more. I wasn't the person that I had, you know, that I had been all these years before, building up to the marriage. And I really had to also get a routine that worked for me. And that was important to start a new routine, because I think that that's the hardest part. We all get into it. And so Friday nights would be our night. We'd go out to, I was working early mornings at the time in news, and we'd go out to dinner every Friday night. Saturday we'd go to the gym, and Sunday we'd go to brunch. And I didn't know what to do the first few weekends where I was alone. I went, oh, this is supposed to be brunch time, but I can't go do that because he's not here. So I really had to start a new routine and kind of plan some times, and really, I'm a big list person. So I had to do things in order to kind of get out of bed, which was walk the dog, get up and get dressed, make your coffee, you know, walk again. I had to do those things to keep myself on a schedule. So I was okay when the path wasn't clear. And that was very important to me in those first 90 days. And I think that they're important, because I think those are manageable. I think they're more manageable than saying, okay, for the next, you know, 6 months, this is what you're going to do. 90 days felt like doable to me.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Stevie Nicks song Landslide. I've been afraid of changing because I built my life around you. You know,
it's so true.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example. You know, the other part of it for me, and I know Marie Kondo is so big right now, but back then there wasn't a Marie Kondo. But for me, it was a lot about decluttering what I had in my life that wasn't working. And it started in my home, and it started with people that were, you know, toxic, or just, it wasn't working. Because whether they were part of my life through him or just they shouldn't be there anymore. I redid my entire apartment. I decluttered my personal life in some different ways. And then I got, you know, settled with the idea that I'm okay with the word I, and I'm okay with the sound of, you know, learning to love I. Table of one, it's okay to walk into a restaurant. I still, every once in a while now, I'm like, just one. And they go, put you in this like terrible table. And I go, no.
By the kitchen door.
Yeah. It's like, I'm okay with being out in the open. You don't have to hide.
Yeah. I sat down the other day and went, wait a minute. I'm just as important as those two people over there. So no, that's not going to happen. But those were some of the things that I really had to get used to doing to be able to start building myself. And then, you know, I moved into, starting my own routine and figuring it out. And it went all around for me. And I use the word declutter a lot because it's what I spent a lot of time doing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just am starting to read. It's a kind of an older book now at this point, but The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. She talks about that decluttering. And in your book, you talk about toxic repetitive patterns. And I think that's what you're starting to touch on here. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that? Toxic repetitive patterns that hold us back from moving forward?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've actually just gone through one recently with somebody who was, and I wrote about it in my book. It was like an ex, and then a friend, and then an ex, and then a friend. And I went, what am I doing? I'm doing what I wrote about. And so I said, you know, I've got to stop that, because that's where we get out of fear and we go into comfort. Those toxic patterns make us comfortable because they're what we're used to doing and we feel okay doing it, and they make us feel safe. And oftentimes those are the worst things. That I'm listening to an audio book right now, and it just talks about that unknown and diving into fear. And it is the worst feeling ever, but it actually makes you the most courageous person. And those toxic patterns were, you know, I had the toxic patterns of checking the social media at the time, of, you know.
You mean his or other people around him?
No. My ex-husband at the time, you know, checking social media, seeing where he was, what is he doing? What's going on? I mean, patterns that just did not make any sense anymore. And you have to, those are like a big clog in the drain that don't allow you to go forward, into what's on the other side of it. There's no question about that for me. And I don't know if it's not always easy to see them. I think that you do have to have a good network of people around you to see them. And I had some good girlfriends. I had one that I called every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she'd be like, all right, get out of bed. Here's what we're doing. Don't make any phone calls. Don't get any fights with him. Don't, you know, move forward. And it's important to have that.
Oh, yeah. No, your support group, no matter who that is really, you know, the people who can give you that dose of reality when you start falling into those toxic. And they often do know what's best for you. I know in the book you said one of your friends said about dining in a restaurant by yourself, no one cares that you're sitting there by yourself. You're just imagining that they're even thinking about you. Nobody even notices. And I heard that in my head, and I was thinking about my friend at the time who said something similar to me. So it's wonderful to have that kind of a support group as you're going through it, because that's actually part of one of the things that you do advocate in the book. Is I'm going to call it sort of a radical self-care of, you know, it seems obvious you should be nice to yourself when you're going through a hard time, but you get down into like very specific tips about which I loved. I don't know if it was the same friend, but one of your friends, when she got divorced, sold everything in the house because it was all her husband's ex-husband's taste and that sort of thing. So can you talk some more about self-care and how you feel that plays into this?
Yeah, I think it's a huge role. And I actually did the same thing. I mean, I took my house apart. I was on a mattress and then on a couch for a while. I lived in an empty apartment. So I would do the news at night and I would come home, open the door, and it would be like, it was an empty
like Ebenezer Scrooge or something.
The echo, as you say, hello,
it's the worst.
Hello.
I was saying, yeah. It was like Ebenezer Scrooge when he's getting home. It's like big empty house.
It really was, but it was important to me to start building back me. And that was what I needed to do. And the self, you know, listen, we all say like, hey, I'm going to get a massage. It's self-care. That's not really it. It's those quiet moments. It's those moments where you allow yourself to have whatever feeling it is you need to have, or you allow yourself to almost be just a little bit selfish. I think you just got to be really tender with yourself during all that. You know, in that process, that's what I did. I emptied my apartment too. That is what I did. I sold all my stuff. I remember thinking like, what am I doing? These are all these memories. And I don't think had I done that, I would move forward as quickly as I did and as well as I did. You know, I took time. Somebody said like, why are there all these things in your book about yoga and meditation and eating right? Does that belong in a divorce book? And I said, it does belong in a divorce book, because that is really what you're doing. You're kind of, this is your opportunity to recreate yourself. And I did. I didn't want to be the person that stood in my kitchen over my counter for, you know, one, eating at the counter and throwing my dish in the dishwasher and not taking care of myself. And so I did a lot of those things. I did yoga. I did meditation. I cleaned out my pantry. I cleaned out my closets. I really recreated who I wanted to be. And I it was all about my new space too. That was a big deal to make sure that I was in a space that was mine. And then I think I manifested my future. You know, some people say they use dream boards, but I really thought out who do you want to be? What do you want to be? Do you want to go back into something like this again? I think if you don't emerge from your divorce whole, you can wind up in another relationship that it looks like a carbon copy of this one and be down the same path. And statistics show that when we look at the rate of divorce in a second marriage and then a third marriage, those are very, very high rate. You both know that those are very, very high rates. And I think that happens when you have not built yourself whole before you get back out there again.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on the new single, How to Fall Back in Love with Yourself After Divorce or a Breakup, with Emmy Award-winning television journalist Tamsin Fadal.
You really have to give yourself a reality check and all that, and not misremember those things, because that is very, very easy to do when you're sitting there alone on a Saturday night in sweatpants with a pizza.
Tub of ice cream, yeah.
We know that tub of ice cream. We're very familiar.
We're going to take a quick break now to tell you about our new sponsor. We're really excited to be pairing with BetterHelp Online Counseling.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you.
You know, much like Breaking Free Mediation lets you work with your mediator online, BetterHelp Online Counseling also allows you to connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's really convenient.
You can connect via phone or video, chat, text, in any areas like depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, anger, grief. Anything you share is confidential, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours.
And best of all, it's truly an affordable option. Our listeners get a 10% discount off their first month with discount code BREAKINGFREE.
So why not get started today? Just go to BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
Are you struggling with how to manage and handle a high conflict personality? Do you feel like everything you do is futile or that your words are constantly being twisted? Breaking Free Mediation and Coaching is now offering a brand new coaching program called Coaching Through Conflict: How to Successfully Manage High Conflict Personalities. If you're dealing with a narcissist, a bipolar personality, or someone who's just simply overly difficult, this program is an absolute must. If you are ready to finally break free of this cycle of abuse and conflict, email us at bfmediation@gmail.com so that you can get started today. That's B as in boy, F as in Frank, mediation@gmail.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including protective orders, the straight dope, when and how can you get them.
It's a tough thing because there's this fine line. There's what I call like this valley that people are allowed to travel in for a good while before it rises to the level of being allowed, being restraining order worthy. I mean, they can be really, really annoying without it rising to the level of getting a restraining order. It's not great, but it is what it is.
And now we return to today's show.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And, you know, I think part of self-care, too, is also monitoring your inner critic and that little voice inside your head that says, you know, I should have left earlier. Maybe I was stupid because I didn't see the signs that he was cheating, or maybe I should have left earlier because obviously he was abusive. I saw the red flags. I ignored them. You know, a lot of people beat themselves up over that sort of thing.
And well, so, and they also romanticize the past, you know, and I think that that's very easy to do, is to say, like, well, it wasn't that bad. And I do remember this one time that it was really good. And you do find yourself doing that. So you find yourself going back and remembering these wonderful moments and forgetting about all the other ones where you were crying yourself to sleep at night, or you were just feeling very, very empty, or you were just, as my dad says, you know, lonely, but with someone. And so I think that you really have to give yourself a reality check and all that, and not misremember those things, because that is very, very easy to do when you're sitting there alone on a Saturday night in sweatpants with a pizza.
Tub of ice cream. Yeah.
We know that tub of ice cream. We're very familiar. So you also give some tips on how to radiate confidence. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, you know, I go back and forth. I've looked back through my book now. You know, it's been a while since I wrote it, and I think that some of the things I wrote this as I was kind of going through the process, and I think that the confidence thing for me now as a 48-year-old woman has changed a little bit. I feel like I am learning more about what's inside of me than worrying about anything else that's outside. Ironically, I work in the television business, but I feel like building myself has helped me get, you know, have that confidence, being bold with things that I would not normally do, like approach somebody or have a conversation, has helped me build that confidence. Diving headfirst into fear, and I didn't even realize I was doing it at the time, has helped me build that confidence from within, confidence that I wouldn't have by outside things, you know, coming first.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And you know, so it's almost like going through the fire of the difficult time is what helps you transform and become something new. It's sort of the phoenix emerging from the ashes kind of metaphor. And I think Rebecca and I have both sort of experienced beyond divorce, but just any difficult change in life. I recently just have been moving around the country a lot. And so going from a very comfortable existence where I spent most of my adult life in Connecticut and New York, and suddenly I was in California, now I'm in Chicago, and having to go out and meet people again and having to push myself outside of the comfortable boundaries. But I feel like it's made me a more confident person. It's made me, I can walk up to anybody and stick my hand out now and say hello because I've done it a million times. So
it's the no fear. And I think you get more comfortable with those things. And I think this applies everywhere. So if somebody says, well, how does that apply to me if I'm okay going up to somebody, going into a restaurant by yourself, you know, feeling okay with having a different schedule that's not one that you had before, trying something totally different that you don't even know whether or not you're really interested in. I think that all of those things are part of this. And I think that, I guess every once in a while when I talk to a woman where I know she's thinking about it or, you know, is in a relationship where she's not happy and she's asking those certain questions, you probably both know, you're asking those certain questions that, you know, she wants to know it's going to be okay on the other side. Having that inner confidence is the best thing that she can do to be able to move forward and get out of that current situation she's in.
Yeah. And along with that, you talk about in your book about you have a great quote that says something like, you cannot and will not find the right person if you are not with the right person already. You know, if that seat is already taken, then, you know, no one else is going to come there. And we were talking a little bit about this before we jumped on the air here. You know, all of us were divorced and all of us are in good relationships now. And they wouldn't have been possible had it not been for the divorce, right?
So, and I think sometimes we just try to fill that seat to have somebody sitting there. And I think that's really the worst thing you could do. And again, that speaks to some of the numbers that we see, right? Not valuing yourself to make sure that the next person that you're with is, you know, somebody you should be with instead of just having a person next to you. And also, I talk about pink flags in the book, which is kind of early on, but I say that I painted a lot of the flags pink in a pretty color when I met my, you know, soon-to-be ex-husband, because I wanted to think those things were not a problem. He was on a couch. That's okay. That's not a problem. You know, financially, we thought very differently. That's not a problem. So I made anything that was a red flag just kind of pink. It's not that big a deal, and we can get over it. And a lot of people do that going into another relationship to be able to have something there, which I think is the, you know, obviously the worst thing to do because they're trying to fill the void and they move on, and you know, then you have the same kind of result if you haven't built yourself first.
Yeah, well, and I think that it sort of goes to the overall theme of your book, that this without sort of figuring out what went wrong in that past relationship, you may have that tendency to gravitate to exactly what you are used to and what you have found before. And that was one of the things that I really pulled out of your book that I thought was so profound for people to hear that are going through a divorce is jumping. It's not even don't jump into a new relationship, but before you get into that new relationship, look at not only what went wrong in your past relationship, but what role you played in it. You know, did you turn red flags into pink flags? Did you, you know, create situations or put up with things or not stand up for what you wanted, not, you know, create a financial plan with your spouse that would work for you as well? But so many times I see it with clients that they just run out and do find that new relationship. And it's almost like they went out and found a cookie cutter person of the person I'm helping them divorce.
You're absolutely right. It's there's somebody very close to me right now that I'm watching in one of these relationships. And everything this person says is, she's answering her own questions, basically like, well, there's this, but it's not that bad. And I hear it and I just go, oh, but you can't, you know, you can't push somebody in any direction that they're not ready for. But But wow, if you have some perspective and you have a little bit of peace and you can see it in yourself, you can prevent yourself from doing it. And I think that that's what's really, really important.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Tamson, you've also teamed up with the folks at Worthy. Judy Herbst just teamed up with us to produce By Divorce, Best You Ever, which was an amazing event that we had here in Los Angeles. And we're also going to be doing one in New York City this fall. Yeah. And you teamed up with her to do the dating survey, which the results were actually revealed at our By Divorce event. Can you share some of those results that you found interesting?
You know what? I think I focused a little bit on the dating and starting over. We had a panel actually here in Midtown a few months ago, I think, where we talked a little bit about it. I think overall, for my part of it anyway, was about the dating and the starting over and what we have spoken about, which is knowing yourself first before you're getting back out there and making sure that you're getting out there and you're dating. A lot of the people that we had at the panel where they were releasing the results were asking questions about online dating. And at the time when I was writing the book, I wasn't online dating. But they said, like, every person I meet is terrible. Every person I meet is terrible. And I think that a lot of focus that you know, when you start back over again is, okay, I'm going out on this date on a Friday night. I got to get my nails done. I got to look good. And there's a 1,000% focus on that one person that might have matched up pretty well, instead of saying, guess what? I'm going to go on 4 coffee dates over the course of the weekend, and I'm going to meet as many people as possible until I finally get to somebody. And so there were a lot of those questions at this panel that we had, and I found that to be really the most curious part, is that people want to know, like, how do I keep going through this dating thing? Because all of us know it's not always that fun. But there are some tough times, and then there are some great times. But a lot of them wanted answers as to how to go through that and just, you know, be okay at the end of it. And I think that my advice anyway for that was to spread it out and to take nothing seriously. And you're going to, like, what is the worst thing that can happen? And that's what I kept emphasizing to everybody, because what's the worst thing that could happen by going out and spending 30 minutes having coffee with somebody? And a lot of the women were very frustrated by it, but I hope in the end, you know, it took away some good advice. The dating survey is interesting that Judy is doing, because I think that there's so much information that people don't know how to talk about and don't feel comfortable talking about. And everybody's in a different place going through this. So I think what she's doing is extremely worthy, actually. And I'm looking forward to seeing the event.
Pun intended.
Yes.
Well, it actually was, I think, one of the most popular parts of our retreat when Judy, we had a panel, I was on it, Michael Daniels and Laura Wasser, we were all on it. Now, I haven't dated in 16 years, but, and one of the things is that came out was that was so interesting, I thought, because I had never thought about it, not having dated in a long time, is that often when you go on these dates now, since you found the people through an app, you've never even had an actual conversation with them. You've just texted them through the app or messaged them. So they are beyond a stranger to you. All you really get to know is what they are willing to put out in their profile, etc. So that I could see where that would cause some, you know, questions and angst.
No question about it. I said to people, treat it like it's a business, like lunch. If you had to go and meet somebody, and then you don't know what comes out of it, nothing. A possible friend, a romance. It's one of those three things is going to happen. You know,
it's like the law of numbers, right? Like even in sales, like you have to see how many people to turn how many people, you know, it's like, you know,
it is a numbers game. Not everybody likes to hear that when they're, you know, they're out there dating, but at the end of the day, I think if you can approach it like that, so you're not, you know, we ran a matchmaking business where people are coming in with expectation of who they want to meet. And, you know, they're sitting across like, this is what I want. I want children. I want this. I want my career by here, marriage by this. And people go, because I just don't think people can take that kind of, information so quickly. And so I think that people are always attracted to somebody who's there to see what's going on, but there's not too much pressure. Nobody wants too much pressure all at once. And you can feel it. You can feel when there's just too much pressure coming from either side in whatever kind of relationship you're in.
Yeah, that's very true. I think, you know, the key was always back when I would go on a date is having that friend who would call you to, you know, say, hey, there's an emergency. If you sent them that surreptitious text in the middle.
Set your alarm and you make a text go off for yourself.
See, I've got it's advanced.
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, Tamson, we're right near the end of our time, and I know, you know, we have barely touched on all of the great information that's in your book and your story. I know it's going to be helpful to our listeners. So can you tell them where they can get your books to find out more about you and how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. My website, tamsonfidel.com, if you want to contact me for any reason. But the book is on Amazon, and it's called The New Single, Finding, Fixing, and Falling Back in Love with Yourself. So that's really what it's about. They wanted me to put divorce in the title of the book. And I was like, no, this is about falling in love with yourself again. And I really believe that. I really believe that you really cannot go forward and find somebody, or if you're not looking for somebody, just find peace with yourself. If you find peace, if you don't know who you are, I think it's important. I think it's so critical.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for putting out the book and this information and joining us today so that people know that even though they're in the worst, most traumatic time of their lives right now, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And we really, really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for doing what you do, because I got to tell you something. People need to hear these things. They need to hear different stories too, so they know that it's not just one or two people that have experienced something good at the end of it. I mean, you have to make room. You have to make room in your life. And when it's time to do that, it's so important. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tamson.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.